We thank thee above all for the wonderful gift of salvation, for the infinite love that has been shown towards mankind, and yet it's only good for those that avail themselves or appropriate that free gift of salvation. We thank thee for thy precious word. Many things in the world, and far by far the majority of things in the world, are very unstable. Even those that seem to be stable are like rocks. We find that over a period of time they disintegrate. But our God could say, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will not pass away. It's forever settled in heaven. Now, Father, as we go in to read thy word, to look what thou hast to say for us, to us, and just trust that thou lay liberally to each of us as to our spiritual hearing and hearts. These things we ask in his name and for his sake. Amen. Now, they're not that big a chapter, so we'll just read through the two chapters. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and the man was perfect and upright, and one that feared God and shunned evil. There were born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. His substance also was 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 she-asses, and a very great household, so that this man was the greatest of all the men of the east. And his sons went and feasted in their houses, every one his day, and sent and called their 3 sisters to eat and to drink with them. And it was when the days of their feasting was finished that Job sent and sanctified them, and rose up early in the morning, and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all, for Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus did Job continually. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, from where or whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one who feareth God and shunneth or escheweth evil? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, doth Job fear God for nothing or not? Hast thou not made an hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth thine hand now, and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, all that he hath is in thine power. Only upon himself put not forth thine hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. And there was a day when his sons and his daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And there came a messenger unto Job and said, the oxen were plowing and the asses feeding beside them, and the Sabians fell upon them and took them away. Yea, they have slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there came also another, and said, the fire of God has fallen from heaven and hath burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. And while he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, the Chaldeans made out 3 bands and fell upon the camels and have carried them away, yea, and slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, thy sons and thy daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. Behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness, and smote the 4 corners of the house, and it fell upon the young men, and they are dead, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. Then Job arose, or started up, and tore his mantle, and shaved his head, and fell down upon the ground and worshipped. And said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return there. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this Job sinned not, nor charged God with folly. Again, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them to present himself before the Lord. And the Lord said unto Satan, From where comest thou? And Satan answered the Lord and said, From going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and shunneth or escheweth evil, and still he holdeth fast his integrity, although thou movest me against him to destroy him without cause? And Satan answered the Lord and said, Skin for skin, yea, all that he hath will he give for his life. But put forth thine hand now, and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, Behold, he is in thine hand, but save his life. So went Satan forth from the presence of the Lord, and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his feet unto his crown. And he took a potsherd with which to scrape himself, and he sat down among the ashes. Then said his wife unto him, Dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die. But he said unto him, Thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What? Shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil? And all this did not Job sin with his lips. Now when Job's three friends heard of all the evil that was come upon them, they came every one from his own place, Eliphaz the Temanite, and Bildad the Shuhite, and Zophar the Naamanite, for they had made an appointment together to come to mourn with him and to comfort him. And when they lifted up their eyes afar off and knew him not, they lifted up their voice and wept. And they tore every one his mantle, and sprinkled dust upon their heads, and toward heaven. So they sat down with him upon the ground 7 days, 7 nights, and none spoke a word unto Job, for they saw that his grief was very great. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Now on the whole, most people always think of Job and his great patience, and rightly so. As for myself, I have never been known from the time I was a little boy to have much in the way of patience. Now you folks, even my wife, have never seen me when I was at my worst. And it wasn't so much impatience with other people, it was more impatience with self. Things that you should be able to do, you can't do quickly, you can't do it right, or you make some silly mistake. And you take it out on yourself. Robbie has a tendency to do the same thing. I don't think he was anywhere near the par I was on, though. Some of them were watching the World Series. Another one there that was very much like that was O'Neill. No one had to say anything to O'Neill if he made a mistake, no matter how slight it was. He was impatient, angry with himself. I think most of you know, in the case of my dad, especially after the time I hit him, I thought there was no one like my dad. As powerful as he was in a sense, depict the way God is. A word and you're gone, that's it. At age 14, a few of you here may have heard it, I was able to lift just with my legs 1,422 pounds. I was only 14 years old. Even then when I put my back to it, we put the back and the legs, I was lifting well over 2,200 pounds. And yet, next to my father, I was nothing. He could have hit me with the back of his hand, and that was the end of it. But for all of that, he didn't hit me. His hand went out, caught me in the face, and I hit the wall about a foot off the floor, went 3 feet through the air. Now, the average father would have beat you within an inch of your life if you had done that. Of course, they didn't have that kind of power or strength. Now, my dad turned on his heel. Well, before his hand shot out, I remember my mother screaming, Don't, Bill. He went out,
About a half hour later, he came back. Evidently, he had went and checked the newspaper because he only had about a sixth grade education. All the rest of us had more education than him. But when he read something, he had it. Now, we talk about our education system today. I was preparing for engineering. So I had all math, trig, solid, you name it. Only thing I didn't have was calculus. And we ran into a problem in the coal yard, and my dad said, and one of the teachers, this particular problem said you couldn't use it without this high math. And we ran into this problem. My father said, you figure it and I'll figure it and see how we come out. He had the answer before I had a formula worked out to get it. And when I got through working it out, we were within thousands of one another. So essentially, we had the same answer. He didn't make mistakes, very seldom. So a half hour later, he comes back. And he said, Tommy, he said, as far as the argument was concerned, you were right. But you had no business raising your hand to your father. And I guess I come very close to almost worshiping him. Well, I knew the strength of him. Few men could have ever gone through what he went through, lived, let alone do what he did. And he never worried about a thing. If he did, you didn't know it. If he needed money, he just went out and made some more. And crookedness or lying or cheating, he had no use for. The customer was always right. And I just wonder sometimes if that isn't part of the reason the Lord took him as early as he did. But even when he was dying with cancer, I never heard him complain. Some days he was feeling a little worse than others, and then another day he's feeling pretty good. Nobody ever told him. He said, well, maybe I haven't. Perk up a bit. But right till he ended up in the hospital, he could outwork any of the men. You'd come in and hope to he'd get tired so you could get a rest. You'd been in the truck all day. He'd been out there swinging that pick all day long. So it would be easier for the men. But I learned patience. And he also told me about that fight. Well, it wasn't any fight. I took the swing and he didn't even blink his eye. The average man would have been down. He said, when I was a boy, I had a bad temper. Said, I learned to control it. So in essence, I've tried to do that. I don't think I've done as good a job as he did. Job was a man of patience. We don't know how it reacted inside, but God came first. That's what Job is noted for. And as for being a real man, you can write them down if you want. I don't think I would spend the time looking them up right now. In Ezekiel 14 and 20 and James 5 and 11, there's no question that he was a real man. He wasn't some hypothetical person, something out of some figment of some man's imagination. But we find in a number of places, in fact, I've got three of them marked, might be more than that, but three just in this portion. What does God say about him? He was perfect and upright. Now, how many of us can that be said of? So undoubtedly, he was above reproach in most things in his life. But he is still a man. We find also that he was the greatest of all men in the East. Who knows? Possibly he was the greatest of all men at that time. Materially. I would hate to have to keep track of all those animals he's got. Let alone, what if you had to put up food in that for the winter time for all that number of animals. So when it said that he had a great household, there had to be a lot of people. They didn't have machinery like we've got today. And over here we find it. Satan comes on the job and it says the sons of God. Now that doesn't literally mean that he was a son of God. That's in the Semitic languages, it's a term for angel. That's what it means. He's an angel. Another place we find that Satan was the what?
the highest angel, the son of the morning, Lucifer, a created being that wanted to be above God. He wanted to usurp God's position. That would be just like I make a little wooden doll, that little wooden doll takes my position. Same sense. And you know, when we stop and think of it, here is the greatest of created beings, and yet he didn't have sense enough to realize he couldn't take the place of the Creator. Satan was not omnipresent. He couldn't be everywhere at once. Only God can. He was not omnipotent, all-powerful. See, God just makes a statement, and he couldn't do it. Just like when they came in the garden to take the Lord said, "I am," and they fell down as dead men. He said, "No man takes my life from me. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again." And thirdly, only God's omniscient. He's the only one that knows everything. He's the Alpha and Omega, the beginning of the end, and everything between. That's why I say, and you've heard it before, when it comes to the creation and time, we're in time, it's like a panoramic picture. In God's eyes, it's completed. Now, this isn't, I'm trying to think of the term. In other words, predestinated. To be predestinated, God doesn't make you do it, but he knows you're going to do it. And in all but maybe one instance when predestination is mentioned, foreknowledge is always mentioned before. God knew what you and I were going to do ever before we did it, but he did not make us do it. We were still free moral agents. We still had the opportunity to make decisions. But now this man, the Satan, comes before him, and of course, he's walking to and fro in the earth and up and down. It's almost like he had nothing else to do. And then the Lord, could he say this of you and I, of Job? "There is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man who feareth, one who feareth God and shunneth or escheweth evil." Any other man that you know of that could be said of? And yet he was born in sin and shaken in iniquity. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God or missed the mark, except for the last Adam, the Lord Jesus Christ. And then Satan makes a statement down here. In verse 9, Satan answered the Lord and said, "Doth Job fear God for nothing or not?" Now many times we overlook that. But believe it or not, that's the most important part of the whole book of Job. Job being patient and all the things that are commendable about him come secondary. I'm going to take a look at my notes here and see what is real, what's important. First, we just read the 9th verse and 2, and the 11th verse. When Job's three friends, I'll mention that, 4 and 5 in verse chapter 2. "And Satan answered the Lord and said, Skin for skin, yea, all that he hath will he give for his life. But put forth thine hand now and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will curse thee to thy face." Up in number 1 and 11, "Put forth thine hand now and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face." He didn't know Job's heart. Satan can put things before us to cause us to err, but he doesn't know that we will err. Only God knows that. And the scripture says when we're faced with lust or temptation, what are we to do? Flee. If Joseph had stayed in the house with Potiphar's wife, he'd have fallen like any other man. But he fled. And left his coat, and he got blamed for it anyway. Now, why does man worship God? This is what Satan's posing to God. What do you say? Doth Job fear God for nothing? Another wise, why does man fear God? Why does he worship God? He's saying the only reason he's doing it is because he's going to get something out of it. And that's our philosophy of the day. What is it they're teaching today? The road to health, the road to prosperity, the road to peace of mind, the road to success, freedom from inhibitions, and well-integrated personalities. That's what a lot of these people are preaching today. Get saved, boy, and the Lord's going to give you everything. There's nothing. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. And all things are mine in Christ. It isn't what the Lord said. The Lord said we're going to be tempted. We're going to be tested. The pressure is going to be put on him. If pressure was put on him, well, if it was put on him, don't you think it'll be put on us? Maybe not to the same degree. Let us look at John 16. Keep your fingers here, though, and Job. John 16, and verse 33. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have happiness. It says tribulation. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Romans 5. Romans 5. 6. For when we were yet without strength, we were without strength, and we are yet in ourselves, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. Chapter 8, the same book. Verse 35. What shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, in other words, we're going to have tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword, as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all day long, and we are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. We couldn't do it on our own. In the same book, the 12th chapter, and the 12th verse, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing diligently in prayer. 2 Corinthians. 1:4. Who comforteth us in all of our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them who are in trouble. In other words, if we don't have tribulation, how do we comfort other people? We have no idea what they're going through. In fact, we've known of people that were very seldom ever sick, and they seemed to get the impression that the other people were putting on. But those same people, when it happened to them, they almost fell apart. They didn't know how to cope with it. By the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted in God. 1 Thessalonians. 3. 1 Thessalonians 3. And the 4th verse. For verily when we were with you, we told you before that we should suffer tribulation, even as it came to pass, and you know. Revelation. First chapter of Revelation. Verse 9. And I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation, and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the Isle of Patmos, for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. He was a prisoner. He was an exile. But you know what most people don't realize? Now, granted,
some claim it's tradition, John had been placed in boiling oil. So undoubtedly he was disfigured from head to foot. But the Lord said that they will all pass through it now. He was the only one, as far as we know, of the disciples that lived and died, just died. All the rest had been executed. But what he went through could very easily have been his death. Probably was intended to be his death. And then in the second chapter, the 9th verse, I know thy works and tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich. And I know the blasphemy of them who say they are Jews and are not, but are of the synagogue of Satan. Now Job was a prototype of the godly man. And who was the godly man? The Lord Jesus Christ. In verse 11, and also in verse 12 of the second chapter, note the pronouns, thine and thee, or you and your. And in the Hebrew, this is what it means. Used to address someone of equal or inferior social status. And who was Satan speaking to? He was speaking to Almighty God. There's a created being, and we've got people like that today that aren't doing it in that sense. Don't get me wrong. They call to Jesus like he was on their level. He isn't. He might say we're brethren, but we're never on his level. Even though we're the bride, we're never on his level. He's the creator. He's the savior. Nowhere in Scripture do you ever find the apostles ever calling him by his first name. Now, in the writings, they may say Jesus in writing. But when they were speaking to him, they called him Lord, Lord Jesus Christ. They never called him by his first name as though they were buddy-buddy system. And this is what Satan is doing. He is calling him as though he was talking to God as though he was his equal or social inferior. And another way of putting it, in other words, Satan is, in his accusation, was either exalting himself, probably both, making himself equal with God, and very much, perhaps, in his arrogance and pride, he may even have been looking down on God. Job 13 and 15. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. I forget the writer's name where I came across this. Salvation does not put a person in heaven. Now, ultimately, we're in heaven as a result of salvation. But the moment we're saved, we're not put in heaven. What does it do? Puts heaven in us. We have a peace and a joy that nobody else has, no matter what happens. For all the things that are commendable in Job, what does the Scripture tell us? Ecclesiastes 7 and 20, there's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. And that included Job. Not a just man upon the earth. And what does God say of this man? Perfect and upright. Not another man like him. So certainly he was a picture of the Lord in that respect. He was above reproach as far as man was concerned. And then we find Romans 3:23, for all, not some, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's like somebody shooting at a target. You don't hit the bullseye, you miss. That's all there is to it. They've missed the mark. In 6 and 23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, then, just who is the anti-type? The Job is. Who is the anti-type of this man? Time's about gone, so we'll just mention them. In Genesis 3:15, the seed of the woman. It's always the seed of the man, the seed of the man. That's a bloodline. It's the seed of the woman, the bloodline ends. There is no bloodline. She was overshadowed by the Holy Ghost. Isaiah 7:14, a sign was going to be given. A young woman was going to conceive, a virgin, and bring forth a son, and his name was going to be called Emmanuel. What does Jesus mean? Savior. 9:6, unto us the child is born, unto us a son is given. He was already a son. And the government shall be upon his shoulder. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Isaiah 44:6. Thus saith the Lord, and that Lord means Jehovah. Thus saith Jehovah, the King of Israel, and his Lord, or Jehovah of hosts. Two Jehovahs. Isaiah 48:16. Come near unto me and hear this. I have not spoken in secret from when? From the beginning. From the time that it was, there am I, or I am. And the Lord God, the Father, and the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, sent me, the Son. There's your Trinity. And then in Isaiah 52:13-15, well, we find the 13th verse, 14th verse, his visage was so marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. Literally rendering, he wasn't recognizable as a human being for you and for me. Isaiah 53, the whole of it points to Christ, not to a nation, it points to a person. And that's why there was no beauty in him that they should desire. When they had so mutilated him, he didn't even look human. I think all of here have heard me mention John Powell not long after he had been saved, and I believe it was Sam McEwen, one of the McEwens anyway. He came to visit John. He came in the living room. There's, you know, that nice pretty picture of the Lord's head. It almost looks feminine. Nothing feminine about the Lord Jesus Christ. God said that he hates femininity in a man. Well, if he hates femininity in a man, he hates masculinity in a woman. I believe he was a good-looking man. In fact, that description I had of him, the Roman senator sent back to Rome, to the Senate, he was a good-looking man. But Sam McEwen told John, he says, whose picture is that on the wall? And John said, well, you know, that's supposed to be the picture of the Lord. And Brother McEwen said, John, if you had a picture of the Lord when he died for you, you wouldn't want it on the wall. It would be so horrible. That's why there was no beauty in him that they desired. That was done by his creatures. He came to save. Proverbs 8:30. He was daily the delight of the Father. Isaiah 6:8, he could say, who shall we send? And he could say, here am I, send me. Then in Psalm 40:7, is the same portion, here am I, no, lo, I come in the volume of the book it is written to me, not some of the book, all of the book. To do thy will, O God. Galatians 4:4-5. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. a body hast thou prepared me. It's in Hebrews. The moment he accepted that body, he didn't have a will of his own. He became that perfect servant that was going to be brutalized. And as we read through the Gospels, everything he did was to fulfill the Father's will. Of course, prior to taking the body, he would have anyway, because God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit are one. They were absolutely perfect. What one would think or do, the other would do. But in this case, he had no say in what was to be done. Although, as God, of course, he undoubtedly knew.
Isaiah 6, 1 through 5, we'll just quote what the angel said. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of what? The Lord of hosts. Well then, who is the Lord of hosts? Psalm 24, 7 through 10, I believe it's the 10th verse, it said, the King of glory is the Lord of hosts. This is the one whom Job pictures. 1 Corinthians 5, 7 and 8, the latter part of 7, the first part of 8, for even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us, therefore let us keep the feast. One of the things where it mentions to keep the feast, I think that's in 1 Corinthians 11. To break the bread, as often as you do it, the Hebrew means ever so many times as possible. Primarily because God knows our weaknesses. We all know how often we become cold. We become indifferent. Part of it can be due to the physical. Part of it's just the fact that we're sinners saved by grace. We still have that old nature. Let us pray. Loving Heavenly Father, we thank you above all for the infinite love that has been bestowed upon us. It's been offered full and free to whosoever will. We thank thee for everyone in our own meeting, and for every other meeting that is convened to the name of our blessed Lord, that are gathered to his name alone. Then, Father, there are many that don't have the understanding, never been taught, and some have seen it and don't know just how to make or what to do with it, being gathered unto him alone. Everyone that has put his or her trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, we thank thee for them. And we pray that the Spirit of God might, even yet, if our Lord be not come, draw each of us closer to himself, that we might be conformed to his image. Again, Father, we think of those that have been laid aside. We think of Raymond worn out today. Think of our dear brother Joe. We think of Charles Ellison. We thank thee that the doctors have set him free, as it were, for our dear sister Ruth and her condition. And we thank thee for some improvement in Mary. Think of Earl. Every way we turn, it seems to be another one. And yet, for all of this, our God knows. We thank thee that we do know the beginning from the end, and that all things work together for the good of those that love the Lord. Now we ask that thou would be with us, take us all to our several homes in safety. These things we ask in his name and for his sake. Amen.